So now we're continuing from Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're discussing a story, with different stories and their meanings from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we're in the middle of a story, which we've given the titles of these stories because they're within the context of larger chapters of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But to make it more interesting, we've picked out small subsections within the chapters and given them some title. So this is called Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Praises Madhavendra Puri. And as everyone knows, Madhavendra Puri is the Param Guru of Lord Chaitanya. And the whole chapter is called Sri Madhavendra Puri's Pure Devotional Service, Madhilila Chapter 6. So Lord Chaitanya was glorifying Madhavendra Puri. He was so fortunate that Krishna came personally to visit him in Govindakund and brought him milk every day. And then that same beautiful boy appeared in his dream and said, "Oh, please, you know, I'm covered by dirt and stickers and I'm very hungry and thirsty, and can you unveil me from the earth and install me?" And then, of course, he installed the deity of Natri. And yesterday we left off by saying the Lord gave orders to Madhavendra Puri in dreams. He had three dreams of the Lord, Teenbar, Swapne Teenbar. And we discussed something about dreams, dreams of devotees, and what is the significance and meaning of those dreams, if there is any. And depending on the adhikar of the devotee, that indicates the importance of the dream or the unimportance of the dream. So Madhavendra Puri is also in Vrindavan. He's in Govardhan and Govindakund, and he had three dreams, or at least one dream there, and two dreams, another one in Raimuna. So Lord Chaitanya is telling all this to the devotees, and he's very excited and animatedly discussing this pastime and glorification of his Param Guru. Janalagi Gopinatha Shira Kaila Churi Hateva Namahaila Shira Chorakari. On account of Madhavendra Puri, Lord Gopinath stole the pot of sweet rice. Thus he became famous as Kira Chor Gopinath. Karpura Chandan Janra Ange Chadaila Anande Puri Gosa Nira Prema Utayila. Madhavendra Puri smeared the sandalwood pulp over the body of Gopinath, and this way he was overpowered with love of Godhead. So that, of course, in Raimuna, he went to Puri, collected the sandalwood to bring back to Vrindavan for Srinathji's seva. And Gopal, that same beautiful boy, appeared in a dream in Raimuna and said, "Actually, Gopinath and I are the same, and now it's Chandanyatra. It's a very hot time of the year here in Vrindavan. Of course, it's even hotter. But also there, and now why don't you offer this sandalwood pulp to Gopinath? And I will accept it equally as if you're offering it directly to me in Govardhan." So he stayed there for 21 days, and they ground the chandan every day into sandalwood paste, and they offered it. And he himself also engaged in the puja, along with the Saivites and Gopinath temple. And he offered that beautiful arisen, I suppose, arisen chandan for the pleasure of Gopinath. He smeared it on his body, and it says here that Karpur, there was it's interesting, it's not mentioned in translation, but it says sandalwood pulp, but in this, it's quite obvious. Karpur chandan means, karpur is camphor, sandalwood mixed with camphor, which is even enhances the coolness. As you know, camphor is very cooling. So in the summer, that's really gets a very chilling effect. If you put camphor, mixed camphor and chandan and put on your forehead, you feel like you have ice cubes on your forehead. It's very, very cooling. And Jagannath Puri, they also offer Karpur as an anjan in the summertime for Jagannath, because his eyes are always rolling in Anurag. He's always intoxicated in love of Radharani. So his eyes are always red. You see he has very reddish eyes, Jagannathji, Shamsundar, Rajendra Nandan. And in summer his eyes become heated. In summer Krishna really suffers because internally his heart is on fire. His heart is burning in love for Radharani. And then outside, above his head, the sun is burning his head. There's twin fires, the fire of his heart and the fire over his head. So he becomes very overheated, and his eyes become very red and hot in the summertime. So only in the summertime, the Saivites and Jagannath, they crush up some natural camphor. There's two types of camphor. There's a chemical camphor, and there's a natural camphor, which comes from some type of I remember reading somewhere, some type of tree like a banana tree, something of the nature of a banana tree, and inside the pit, or whatever it is, inside the trunk there's some substance there, and they produce camphor from that, kapur. And that's natural, you can eat it, and they mix it. When you go in famous temples in South India and have payasam is a type of sweet rice. When you go in Srirangaji temple, or Venkateshwar Balaji, or these famous temples in South, the special flavor of their ladus or of their payasam is the camphor. Is that hauntingly spicy flavor, cooling menthol flavor is the camphor that's inside. It's natural camphor. So in the summertime, the pujaris, they crush up this natural camphor and they put it over the eyelids of Jagannath. They somehow see the eyelids, whatever. We just see the eyes wide open. But they put it over on top of his eyes, like his eyelids. And then Jagannath keeps a little bit cool, cools him down. And then when you go over there and take darshan, or if you know some pujaris, they come and they give you that maha kapur, anjan. Anjan means something for the eye, like chatusama. Chatusama is a mixture of four things. Like ladies use kajal, or men also, Krishna use kajal. Kajal is lamp, what we call lamp black. You burn a pure ghee, some cotton with pure ghee, and you put a clay cup over it, like a rooftop. And then the ghee is on the bottom burning. Then all this smoke gathers inside the clay. And that's called lamp black. It's black. It's oily from the ghee, and it's smoke from the fire. Some carbon. I suppose carbon. Carbon and ghee. And that's called kajal. You must have read. You know. Beautiful black, like ladies say mascara. I think they say mascara or eyeshadow, eye makeup, mascara. I don't. They have all these different kind of names, but in Sanskrit it's called kajal, and it's very cooling and very cleaning for the eye and very healthy for the eyes. And you see football players wear something like that in the West, in America. They put some black shoe polish or whatever it is. I don't know what it is. Maybe. They put under their cheeks, because when they're playing, the sun reflects off their white faces into their eyes, and they can't see the football. It's football, but you throw it. American football. Football means soccer. So this kajal is very, very cooling for the eye. Very, very cooling. So when you go there, the pujaris will give you that if you're going to temple, and they'll come up to you, and you don't know when it first happens. You don't know what's happening. They say, "Oh, here, take some Alprasadam from Jagannath." And he says, "Close your eyes." So you think he's going to put something in your hand or mouth. And all of a sudden you feel his finger go across your eyelid, like this. And then all of a sudden it starts very cooling. It's, oh, that's nice. So what is that when it first happens? Oh, that's the kapur. Kapur. Jagannath Kapur Prasad. You ever had? The Mahaprasad. And it's very refreshing. And subsequently, and sometimes in the summer in Vrindavan, when I'm too much hot in the head, I put that on my eyes, and it's very, very cooling, very nice. So this is the kind of sandalwood that Madhavendra Puri was lovingly massaging on the body of Gopinath and Ramona and Orissa. Karpur chandan yandre ange chadaila, prema utaila. And says, as he was doing this, as Madhavendra Puri, who was always feeling so much separation from Gopinath, he was in the mood of Radharani. Madhavendra Puri's constant mood in the heart of Madhavendra Puri was the mood of Radharani's heart, the mood of viraha, the mood of separation. When Radharani went to Mathura, when Krishna went to Mathura with Akura, then Radharani's feeling so much this separation. So Madhavendra Puri was always identifying with that, and he left this world in that mood of separation. When he left this world, he was tadatmika, or tanmoy, with that feeling. And he cried out the famous prayer, Ayidina Dayarjanatahe. He said, "Oh, Natahe, oh my Lord, Mathura Nath, now you've gone to Mathura, you're the Lord of Mathura, you've forgotten us, but we cannot forget you. You are beloved, now and forever. How could we ever forget you? But you left us." So this was the last verse that he recited when Madhavendra Puri was leaving his body. So this same Madhavendra Puri is now with Krishna, because he's identifying with Radharani's mood. So now he's with the mood of Radharani. He's Radharani's worshipper and servant. And because of Madhavendra Puri, anyone who has this type of prem has some connection, this type of love for Radharani, this Braja prem, this Gopi prem, he must have some connection with Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri imbued this love in the heart of Ishvara, and Ishvara Puri passed this love onto the heart of Mahaprabhu through the 10-syllable Gopal mantra, or it's called Krishna mantra also. And then Mahaprabhu distributed everywhere. So this, he's called the Kapla Riksha. In the biographies of Madhavendra Puri, Madhavendra Puri is called the Kapla Taru, Kapla Taru of Braja Prem, the Kapla Taru of Viraha Prem. Kapla Taru means a wish fulfilling tree, Kapla Taru. So now, although so much separation, now in Rimuna there's union. There's Vipralamba, there's separation, there's Sambhog, union. Now he's with Gopinath, and he's rubbing Gopinath's body with Chandan, and Gopinath's relishing, being very, very cool in the hot month of May. It's called Jaisht. Jaisht is a very hot month in India. Especially Arisa gets very, very hot also, like UP. And so Gopinath is feeling great exaltation and great thrill and happiness from that Chandan. And now Prema Uttarila, and Prema is rising and welling up in the heart of Madhavendra Puri. Oh, my Lord is happy. My Lord is pleased. My Lord is comforted. His pain of his viraha is also being cooled by this chandan, and I'm feeling so much happiness. The love that's welling up in the heart of Gopinath is also rising in my own heart by my service to him. So this is being described here. Lord Chaitanya is honoring that. Lord Chaitanya is glorifying that. Oh, he was, just see this Madhavendra Puri, he was massaging the body of Gopinath with his Karpur chandan, with his sandalwood paste mixed with camphor, and this love was rising up in his heart. Such a glorious devotee, such a glorious service, such a glorious Lord. Lord Chaitanya goes on. Mlecha deshi karpura chandana anite janjal puri dukkha pabeyiha janaya gopal. So now he's explaining that this is what he did with the chandan, but now Lord Chaitanya is explaining how he procured it, how he collected that chandan. It wasn't an easy feat. You don't just walk into the store and buy chandan. It's not so easy. He said, in the provinces of India governed by the Muslims, Mlecha Desh, there was much inconvenience and traveling with sandalwood and camphor, because everywhere he went there was tax toll booths along the road, tax, whatever they call it, tax places, and he would have to pay something. You see, even now, whenever you must be knowing when you go to Delhi, when you go from Vrindavan to Delhi, there's all these cars, there's all these trucks backed up at the border of Haryana and UP. Hundreds of trucks on either side of the road, and you go very slowly through there. Because when they go through that border, those trucks are searched. And what kind of goods are they carrying? They check their papers, and they have to pay tax, transport tax, road tax. So when you're transporting camphor, which is a very rare and dear thing in those days, and sandalwood, which is very dear, there's a big tax. So everywhere he went, he had to pay tax and give some explanation, even though he had an authorization letter. Madhavendra Puri was carrying an authorization letter from the king of the Gajapati, from Puri. He had government sanction because sandalwood is controlled by the government. Karnataka state government, they were controlling sandalwood. Up until a few years ago, they sold to some private company, sandalwood oil. And we used to buy sandalwood and sandalwood oil in 1975 and 6 for the temples in India. When we would buy the sandalwood in Delhi or the oil, it would say, produced by the government of Karnataka. Karnataka state government approved and was produced by, then later on it became a private company. So he had the permission from the king of Puri that this was a donation, there was no tax, but nevertheless, you know how India is. You have permission, you have a letter, it's legal, but still, hey, okay, you have the letter, but you want to pass? Give us some pranami. Give us some bakshish. Bakshish, Baba. Give us some money. Money donation, me Brahmin. There's one pandit in the Radhakund. He only knows this much English. Hey, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Money donation, me Brahmin, give. Because he's using Hindi grammar rules with English. Because in Hindi grammar, the verb's at the end. Money donation, Brahmin, give. You say paisa lelo, paisa dedo, you know, the verb is in the end, right? So he puts the verb in the end, so please give me money or give me, I'm a Brahmin, give me donation. Money donation, what do you say? Money donation, Brahmin give, me give. Oh, he said, okay. It's so cute and so humorous. I'm bound to give some money. If you got a good laugh, right? It's worth it. If you got a good laugh, it's worth it. Worth a few rupees. So he had faced a lot of inconvenience for the benefit of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya knows that. Lord Chaitanya is a super soul. He's God. He knows it. He said, listen, everybody, do you understand? Listen, it wasn't easy for him to offer that chandan to Gopinath. He procured it, then he had to pass through all these mlechadesh, and the Muslims are harassing him. Oh, you're some Hindu sant, and you're carrying a sandalwood for your Thakur. Oh, your Thakur, this is idol. What is this? Oh, no, this is a letter. This sandalwood will be offered to our deity, and they don't believe in deities. It's idol worship. They have some name for it. I forget what they call it. What's the name that Muslims call idols? They have some name. Huh? What do they call it? Some word they call it. Just like, you know, a non-believer is called a, non-Muslims call it a kafir, right? Kafir? Oh, we don't have too many educated people here. At any rate, and then Lord Chaitanya, because of this, Madhavendra Puri might have gotten into trouble. This became known to the Gopal deity. So this is very interesting. And Lord Chaitanya explains, Mahadaya Maya Prabhu Bhakta Vatsal Chandan Pari Bhakta Shrama Karila Safal. This is very interesting. Lord Chaitanya is speaking to the devotees and he's glorifying, because he himself, at this juncture in time, Lord Chaitanya is personally in Raymuna. He's traveling through Orissa and he stopped at Raymuna and he's taking the darshan of Kirachura Gopinath and he's narrating this history of the deity and one great devotee, Madhavendra Puri, who just so happens to be his param guru. So in the course of that narration, he's actually praising Madhavendra Puri. So this story is called Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praises Madhavendra Puri. So this is the whole setting. We're in Raymuna right now. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there. A few of his associates are with him. And he's very excitedly narrating the story. Oh, do you know the story about this deity? Yes, Mahaprabhu. Can you tell us the story of this deity? This deity is called Kirachura Gopinath. So we've seen so many temples, Mahaprabhu. We visited many temples of Radha Gopinath and Gopinath, but we've never seen any temple Kirachura Gopinath. That's a very unusual name. Mahaprabhu, can you tell us, why is this deity called Kirachura Gopinath? Oh, yes. It's a very long story, a very beautiful story about a devotee and his Lord. You please sit down, I'll tell you. So everyone's sitting down and listening. So now he explains something about the intimate heart of the Lord. We've heard something about the heart of the devotee, Madhavendra Puri's heart. He immediately responded to the Lord's request in a dream, immediately walked all across India to Puri, and then he carried this 40 kilos of sandalwood pulp with great physical difficulty, and what to speak of social inconvenience and traveling through these Muslim territories. He did all of this for the pleasure of his Lord, out of his pure love for Gopal Nathji, who ordered this in a dream. So we understand about the heart of the devotee, how much surrender he is, how much dedicated he is, how much determined he is to please the Lord. This is the heart of the devotee, which exhibits these wonderful qualities in action. But now let's hear about the heart of the Lord, whom this devotee is so much endeavoring for, to please and to love and to serve. So then Lord Chaitanya says, yes, let me tell you about the heart of the Lord. Mahadaya, Maya Prabhu, Bhaktavatsal. The Lord is very merciful and attached to his devotees. So when Gopinath was covered with sandalwood pulp, Madhavendra Puri's labor became successful. Bhakta Shram, Shram means the trouble, the labor, the hard labor, Shram, Bhakta Shram, the hard labor that he undertook. In the previous verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying that this was known to the Gopal deity. So what hardship, the hardship and difficulty that Madhavendra Puri was facing in Orissa in carrying and transporting this chandan and sandalwood and karpur through these various districts of Orissa to bring back to Vrindavan, because he had to meet all these Muslim tax collectors. That hardship was known by Gopal Nathji here standing on top of Govardhan. He understood that. He understood what difficulty my devotee is going through. So what can we learn from this? How can we bring this verse down to our own practical level. What is it? What is the meaning to us? What is the benefit for us? Is it simply just lila for itself, by itself, of itself? Or does it have application and relevance to our own devotional lives? And certainly it does, from so many angles of vision. But one obvious conclusion that anyone can make is that the Lord is conscious of our endeavor. He's Bhaktivatsal. He's very affectionate to his devotees. And he knows, it says he's Bhaktivatsal, and he knows Bhaktashram. Shram means labor. Shrama eva hi kevalam. We have this verse that someone who doesn't serve the Lord and worship the Lord, all of his labor, shrama eva hi kevalam, it is useless. It's good for nothing. It's no value if it's not connected to the Lord. So shram, Bhaktashram means the hard labor, the sweat, the blood, the sweat, the tears, the endeavor, the determination, how much hard it is to control the senses, how much difficult it is to steadily engage in Lord's service, especially at the level of anarthanivrti, due to the bombarding of our various anarthas, greed, anger, lust, and envy. It may be very difficult to tread the path of bhakti, the bhakti marg. But we try our best, with determination and patience and good association, to carry forward, to go progress on the path of devotion and surrender more and more and serve more and more. So Krishna knows. As they say, God knows. God knows. So this is an example. He not only knows our external activities, but he knows the movements of our heart. What is the intention of our heart? And he's more concerned with the movements of our heart than the movements of our body. Bodies move according to the dictates of the modes of nature, but hearts move according to our free will. We can choose to love or not to love. We can choose to surrender or not to surrender, but the body movements and the body construction is something of the modes of nature, is playing there, acting there very forcefully. So therefore, in the 10th canto, Krishna says, Bhava Grahi Janardhan. Bhava Grahi Janardhan. That Janardhan Krishna, he accepts the essence, Grahi, the essence of the Bhav. What is the internal quantum? What is the movement of the heart? What are the heart waves? The heart waves, the waves of feeling, the waves of internal attachment and desire to please and desire to do right and desire to love and desire to serve. Externally, there may be some covering. There may be some impediment or blockage. But what is the actual flow, the source, the root flow, the base? That's what Krishna is concerned. So therefore, he's called Bhaktivatsal. He's very attached to his devotees. And he's very affectionate to his devotees. He vibrates on the heart level, with the heart level of the devotee, with the heart vibration of the devotee. So because of this, he's so doyamoy, because Nachi is so much compassion, and he does know, Krishna does know the hardship that we're undergoing, then he makes arrangements to alleviate the difficulty, to reduce the load, to lighten the load, to reduce the burden of our service, the burden of our mind, the burden of our anarthas, the burden of our aparads. They become very heavy burdens. The weight of our own anarthas is sometimes too heavy to bear. The weight of our own aparads is sometimes too heavy to carry. But Krishna knows that and he comes to our aid. So, standing in Govardhan, Krishna knows what's going on the other side of India with his devotee. Standing in Goloka, playing his flute, calling his cows, Uttara Goshta Lila, now it's Uttara Goshta Lila, Krishna's busy walking behind the cows and walking through Varsana, glancing here and there, looking for some curious eyes of a gopi. But he hears our prayers. If our prayers are backed by Sharanagata, Sharanagati, or Sharanagata, the quality of surrender, tendency to surrender, if our prayers are backed by surrender, then that surrender carries our prayers to the ears of Krishna, even in the midst of his lila. And he responds. He responds by making arrangements to lighten the load. So Gopal Nachi is having his pastimes. Giridhari Nachi is having his pastimes on Govardhan Hill. And then this devotee is over there carrying this load of sandalwood. Oh, you're having difficulty? All right. I will come to you. I will appear to you. Krishna appears in the mind as in a dream. Krishna appears before us as Guru, Vaishnava, Yogamaya, old lady, dog, cat, any way he can come and appear and teach and show and guide and remove the burden, lighten the load. So in this instance, he fully understood the difficulty Gopal was going through. Madhavendra Puri was going through. So Gopal Nachi came in the dream of Madhavendra Puri in Ramona and said, look, you remember me? Remember me? I'm in Vrindavan. And I used to bring milk to you every day. And then I was hiding in the bushes, and you found me hiding in the bushes, and you placed me on the hill, and you worshipped me there, Sri Gopal Nathji. And you installed me there and arranged for elaborate worship. And then I appeared again in your dream, and I said, oh please, I'm very hot standing on top of this hill. You go on top of a hill, you go on top of Govardhan Hill and Jaishtamas, see how hot it is. Someone told me, but I don't know, which I mentioned yesterday. Someone said, I'm not familiar, they said, in the Guinness Book of Records, there's some book like this called Guinness Book of Records, it says the hottest inhabited place on earth is a village called Aniyur in a place called Govardhan in India. Aniyur is where Jatipur and Aniyur. Aniyur on one side, Jatipur the other side, in the middle is the Gopal temple. That's where Gopal was found and installed on the hill there in Aniyur. Give me more, give me more. They say this is the hottest inhabited place, and the summer gets up to 58 degrees centigrade or something. Someone told from outside. I don't know. I know it's hot near. Oh, it's hot over here. So Aniyur is of course on the Govardhan Prikamarg. It's right after Dangati and Danivartan Kund, and before Govinda Kund. It's called Aniyur. So, or Aniyur, they sometimes say Aniyur. What to speak, standing on top of the hill. Standing on top of Govardhan Hill where Nathji was. So then in a dream, he told Madhavendra, please collect some sandalwood right away. El pronto. Quickly, fat, jaldi, jaldi, tara, tari. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. So he ran off, or at least walked as fast as he could. He collected the chandan with all intention and determination and patience to bring it back and offer to Gopal Nathji. But Gopal said, oh, you're suffering. You're having so much difficulty, carrying so much weight, so much burden. Madhavendrapuri had a burden of sandalwood, and he had the weight of Karpur. But we have a burden of Anarthas and the weight of Aparad. There's also a burden and a heavy weight on our mind and hearts. So Gopal came in Madhavendrapuri's dream and said, remember me? I know you've collected the sandalwood, and I'm very, very happy that you've done this. I'm really pleased. I'm fully satisfied. But don't undergo any more difficulty. You can unload. You can download your files, so to speak. You can unload your burden. You can lighten your load by offering your weight of sandalwood and all your camphor here to me, because I'm also standing here. I'm standing on Govardhan Hill, and I'm also standing here before you as Gopinath. So please, you offer this to me. Then he woke up. Oh, that Gopal. Again he's come to my dream. This is three times. So then he stayed and he offered. So the Lord is explaining, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is that Gopal Nathji, he is that Kirchura Gopinath. The same person is speaking to all the devotees in the mood of being the Bhakta avatar. He's with the devotees in the mood of being the greatest devotee. Yes, there was this great devotee, Madhavendrapuri, and the Lord interacted with him. And the Lord showed his vatsalya and his doyamoy, his compassion and his affection. Yes, my devotees, listen to this story of Madhavendrapuri. Isn't the Lord very merciful? Isn't he very affectionate? And all the devotees said, yes, he's very merciful. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. Doyamoy, right? Kripa Doyamoy. Say Doyamoy, you are the Doyamoy, you are the Bhaktivatsa. So by doing this, the Lord, that what happened by offering that chandan to Gopinath, then the labor of Madhavendrapuri became successful, safal. All fruits was there. Purira prema para kashta karahavichar alokik prema chitte lagi chamatkar. Now that's the end of Lord Chaitanya's speaking. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed the standard of Madhavendrapuri's intense love before Nityananda Prabhu for judgment, because Nityananda Prabhu was in that circle of devotees in Ramona who were listening to Lord Chaitanya narrate the story and describe the glories of Madhavendrapuri and the instructions that he gave by his activities. And then this goes on to say, all his loving activities are uncommon. And Lord Chaitanya is saying, indeed, one is struck with wonder to hear of his activities. This alokik means out of this world, beyond this loka. alokik prem chitti. It's wonderful. His activities are very wonderful to consider. Prem parakashta. The standard of intense parakashta. This is also part of the Ekadash Bhava, is the parakashta, is the intense mood of identifying as Radharani's nitya and eternal maidservants called parakashta and Ekadash Bhava. Another application of the word. But here it's prem parakashta, means standard of intense love of Godhead, of Madhavendra Puri. Just considered how intense was his love of Godhead. He would do anything for the Lord. There was no job too difficult. There was no order too tall or too hard for him to accept and follow. Srila Prabhupada has some purport here. When the living entity feels spiritual separation from Krishna, Krishna Viraha, he has achieved the prime success of life. So if that's true, the converse must also be true. In other words, if the living entity does not feel spiritual separation from Krishna, he has not achieved the prime success of life. So this may be our predicament. But we can hope for to attain this separation. Krishna Viraha, this is the success, prime success in life, to have nothing. You're considered to be very successful in spiritual life if you have nothing. And you enter the material world and you say, yes, my dear lad, the standard of success in the material world, if you have nothing, you're considered successful in the material world. Then obviously you're a bum, you're a reject, you're poverty stricken. You know, what do they give the man who has everything? A material life, you're supposed to go for it, attain everything, be everything you can be, and attain and accumulate everything you can. You're considered to be a success, a successful man. He's a very successful man. So if you ask someone, yes, this material person, he's a very successful man. Then you say, "What? Why do you say he's successful?" Then they'll start to list all the achievements, all the accrements, all of the things he has acquired, accrements, possessions. He has this thing, so many properties, so many buildings, so many titles, so much name and fame and wealth and position and influence. Oh, he's very successful materialist. But in our book, oh, he's a failure. And then you go to the spiritualist and say, oh, this is Krishna Das. He's a very successful devotee. Oh, why? Oh, he's a Niskinchan. He's like in the materialist, he's called Kropati, or a billionaire. That's his title. He's a billionaire, which means he's very successful materially. But a spiritualist, he's called Niskinchan Sadhu, which means he has nothing material, nothing. Devoid of anything, has nothing. He doesn't have anything. Do you have any buildings? No. Do you have any property? No. Do you have any wealth? No. Investments? Name? Fame? Nothing. I'm Niskinchan Sadhu. Acha? You have nothing? No wealth? No name? Fame? Wealth? Followers? Anything? Oh, I feel very sorry for you. Very downtrodden. Very despicable, deplorable, wretched condition. We should do some collection for you. We should pass the hat and collect some money for you. You're in a very, very down position. Would you like us to help you? No, I'm quite happy. Acha. And someone else says, oh, you don't know. See, Niskinchan Krishnadas, he's Atmaram. Acha. Yes. And he's Aptakam. What is that? Atmaram, he's blissful within himself. He has nothing. And that nothingness is his source of bliss. Acha? Very strange fellow. He's nothing? And that nothingness, that emptiness, that void is his source of bliss? Yes. Okay, but I'm sure he has desire. He must want something. He has nothing, but I'm sure he wants something. And if he gets his hands on something, then he'll really be happy and really hold on to it. No. Another characteristic of Niskinchan Krishnadas is he's aptakam. He has no desire to fulfill. No desire to fulfill. There is not a drop of hankering in him. He has nothing and he wants nothing. What? Oh, he's really loco. He's really crazy. We should call the doctor immediately. Call the psychiatrist. Call the shrink. This guy is a misfit. He doesn't fit in. So this is but in spiritual life, Prabhupada's telling, this is success. This is the prime success. This is the prime success in life, to have nothing, to feel that everything is empty. Shunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahiname. Shunyayatam jagat sarvam. Jagat sarvam means everything is empty. My body, my mind, this land, this world, this country, the whole universe is viraha. Shunyavad. Without Govinda, Govinda virahiname, shunyayitam jagat sarvam, Govinda virahiname. In separation from Govinda, all is empty, all is valueless, all is void. Shunya, shunyavad. This is success. Do we feel like that? Have we ever even thought like that? Do we ever desire to become like that? Then we can think, how much do we want success in life? We have to empty out, well, we have to put out, what do you say, erase all files, right? Erase all files, and then we put them in the trash can, but then we keep them there, because you can go in the trash can and take them out again, right? You may throw something in the trash can and say, no, that was actually a good thing, I'm taking it out of the trash can. But then they have one button that says, empty the contents of the trash can. Now that's a really dangerous button. If you empty the contents of the trash can, then it's gone forever. You can never retrieve it. You can never get it back. I think so. Maybe the Russians, they're pretty smart. They can figure out how to create something out of nothing. These Russian computer guys are really smart. At any rate, this is what Prabhupada is telling. This is a prime success in life. Completely empty our heart out. And that, of course, can only be done by Nam Bhajan and Guru Kripa and Vaishnava Kripa. So Prabhupada's purport, when one becomes disinterested in material things, he is simply experiencing the other side of attraction for material things. It's like Krishna says in Gita, aversion is the opposite side of attraction. Sometimes we temporarily, due to some emotional upheaval or loss of a dear one, or financial setback, or some type of crushing experience, we become detached. I call Shamsan. Shamsan. Shamsan Vairagya. Shamsan. Shamsan Vairagya. Shamsan is a crematorium ground where they burn the bodies. Every village has a place, at least one or two places, where they burn the bodies, dead bodies. And relatives will go there, the men at least, and they watch the father and mother being burned. Then they think, the young man thinks, oh, this is very bad. It all ends like this. So much endeavor, so much hardship, and you simply get burned up. And 5 hours is all over. Finished body, hogya. What is life? Actually, I should get serious about life. I should read the Bhagavad Gita. I should go to the temple. I should chant a round of japa. I should start thinking about God and doing something spiritual for a change. Young man may think that. Some temporary wave of detachment enters his mind. And for a week or two, he's quite religious. And then someone says, listen, I have some free... You have free miles coming on your air flight ticket from all your business trips to China. And I also have some free miles on my ticket because I fly to China so many times. So with these free miles, we can actually go to Las Vegas. So or to Pattaya Beach. We can go to Thailand, to Pattaya Beach. So why don't we go this weekend? Free miles, free ticket. Oh, splendid idea. Let's leave my beads here, my Bhagavad Gita, and Hari Hari Bol. Here we go. So this Vairagya doesn't last long. So this is what Prabhupada's alluding to. Sometimes we become disinterested, but it's another side. However, feeling separation from Krishna and engaging in the service of the Lord to fulfill His mission constitutes the best example of love of Krishna. So I guess this is... Versus Prabhupada's statement here, because he's responding to Lord Chaitanya's saying that Madhavendra Puri's prema, his love is very uncommon, his loving activities. Prema parakasha kara vichara. His activities in love are most extraordinary. Due to his wonderful love for God, he performed the most extraordinary and incredible activities. Not only that, he says, Alokik Prem Chitte Lage Chamatkar. And anyone hears about, and one is struck with wonder, amazed when he hears about such activities. So now, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, it almost sounds like a biography, because he says here, he says that when one become, he says, however, feeling separation from Krishna and engaging in the service of the Lord to fulfill his mission constitute the best example of love of Krishna. So if we think about this in terms of Srila Prabhupada, we'll see that Srila Prabhupada himself, he was also feeling great separation from Krishna. And what was he doing? He was also engaging in the service, in the service of the Lord to fulfill his mission. It's the best example of love. So you see, Madhavendra Puri, you see the parallel between Madhavendra Puri and Srila Prabhupada. Madhavendra Puri, he was showing the best example of love because he was acting to fulfill the mission of the Lord. The mission of the Lord was the Bhagavan Icha, Sri Gopal Nathji, Nathji's Icha, desire for the Chandan, for the sandalwood. He wanted that, and he appeared in Swapna, Madhavendra Puri's dream. So Madhavendra Puri went to Puri, went to Jagannath Puri to collect that sandalwood. So he's acting, because of his love, he acted in an uncommon way to please carry out the mission of the Lord. So then Prabhupada says, this is the best example. Madhavendra Puri is the best example of love of God. But if we look at the life of Srila Prabhupada, and of course any other number of contemporary Vaishnava Acharyas who are traveling all around the world for the mission of the Lord, they're also best examples of love of Krishna. And feeling separation from Krishna, so that's the internal bhav, the actual swabhav or the internal nature. And then what are you doing externally? Internally you're feeling so much separation, but externally you're acting in the practical world. You're actually moving and acting, engaging in practical activities with the senses. Pancha, the karmendriya, gyanendriya, working senses, you're actually moving and doing activity. So he says, feeling separation from Krishna and engaging in the service of the Lord to fulfill his mission, this constitutes the best example of love of Krishna. So Prabhupada himself, that's why I said this statement is autobiographical, because he himself is engaged like that. How much separation he felt, you can see Prabhupada wrote one poem on the Jaladut. When he went to America, he sailed on the Jaladut. It was like 2 months or so many months, I don't remember, 1 or 2 months on the boat. And it was rocking like this, and there were waves and tufan and tornado and very difficult journey, sea journey. So then he wrote a poem there called Markin Bhagavad Dharma. And he said, O my lords, Radha Damodar. O my lords, O my Pranath. He says, Radha Damodar Prananath. Mora Prananath. Radha Damodar Mora Prananath. He says, Radha Damodar Mora Prananath. Oh, my beloved lords, I'm feeling so much separation from you. He says, Mahaviraha. So much separation from you in this far distant place. And I was serving you in Sevakunj. He was in Sevakunj in the association of Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami. And now you've taken to me, but I'm feeling so much separation from you. So this Prabhupada was very much missing Radha Damodar. And in this mood, he was going around the world, you know, missing the Lord. So we can take also, our gurus, they also encourage us to preach and to travel, to go here and there, carry the mission. We see from their own example, do you think it's easy for a great devotee to leave Vrindavan and go to Badger, to go to Russia, to go to Australia, to go around the world and preach the mission of the Lord? Imagine living in Mathura, Mandala, Braj Mandala for 50 years. How much Rati, how much Bhav and Prem that such a person will have for Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Oh, but the mission, this is the mission. So internally feeling so much separation, but carrying on the mission. This is the best example of love of God. So many people, this is called Goshtyanandi. Goshtyanandi and Bhajanandi. There's two types of devotees. So the Goshtyanandi, Bhajanandi is also Premi Bhakta. Goshtyanandi, he's doing Sadhana Bhajan, Shravanam Kirtan Vishnu Smaranam. He's doing Smaranam, Leela Smaranam, Leela Kirtan, Guna Kirtan, Nam Kirtan. But he is keeping to himself, Nirjan. It's called Nirjan, Nirjan Bhajan, solitary Bhajan. Just in Kuti, doing Smaran, Nam Jap and Smaran. But Goshtyanandi, Goshtyanandi is Paribrajak. Paribrajak, he's wandering, Paribrajak. America, Australia, here, everywhere for preaching. This is best example. So this is our tradition. We come in this tradition of Goshtyanandis. So we're duty bound. It's actually in the mantra. When one receives mantra, when one receives mantra diksha in this line, in Gaudiya Sampradaya, then he gets the, he actually gets the bhav, guru bhav, guru ka bhav. The guru's bhav, the bhav of the guru is come mantra, guru bhav mantra kesat. The diksha mantra, guru bhav kesat. There's a mixture. The guru's bhav is mixed in the mantra. So when you take diksha, then guru's bhav, guru's heart's coming inside. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivedanta Swami, Bhaktivedanta Narayan Maharaj, Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj, Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, all the acharyas coming in this Gaudiya Sampradaya from Gaudiya Math Iskan, this bhav, this prachar bhav, this udhar, this parama udhar, this mood is inside the mantra. There's karuna. There's Radharani is karunamayi. Karunamayi Radha. So in this mantra, in Radha Gayatri, Radha Mantra, Gopa Mantra, Gaura Mantra, Guru Mantra, Kam Gayatri, in these mantras, there's Prachar Bhav is mixed in, because it's in the heart. It's in the heart. The Viraha Bhav, this mood of Viraha, the separation, but then this Prachar. So when one receives Diksha Mantra from a guru in Gaudiya Math or ISKCON, he can't help but be a Pracharak. He cannot help but be a Pracharak. He will have to tell someone somewhere, he'll have to tell about Krishna. Yare deke tare kaha Krishna upadesh amara agaya guru hanatare desh. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Korma Brahman in South India, Korma Brahman. Yare deke taha kaha Krishna upadesh. Right? He's amara agaya guru. Amara agya. Amara agya. On my order, become guru. Guru means you speak harikata. Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam. Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam. Tapta jivanam. The jivas are tap. They're burning. Samsara dhavan. Samsara dhavan ala lida loka. Ala lida loka. Lida loka means suffering. Adi atmika klesh, adi bhotika klesh, adi daivika klesh. Samsara dhavana. Dhavanala. Dhavanala means forest fire. Raging forest fire. Samsara. Janma mrityu jaravyadi dukkha dosha nadarshanam. So, all the gurus, when they give lecture, they'll give harikata, they'll tell lila kata, and this is Govinda Kund, and this lila took place, and this is Dandi Vartan Kund, and so much lila will be there. But ultimately, the gurus and the pracharaks in Gaudiya Math and ISKCON, they will say, and everyone preach. After giving so much lila kata and amrit, lila ras, and braja ras, then they'll say, preach, prachar, isn't it? Distribute books and preach. I think you're getting this message. So this is, Prabhupada is also speaking this in his purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to point out this intense love of Krishna exhibited by Madhavendra Puri. All Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees later followed in the footsteps of Madhavendra Puri, serving the Lord without personal considerations. So this is, again, Prabhupada's emphasizing the selfless nature. Man, tan, what's it? Tan, man, dan, guru, samarpan. Right? When we say Krishna, samarpan, guru, samarpan. Body, mind, and words. So Madhavendra Puri, Prabhupada is using Madhavendra Puri as a springboard. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is simply glorifying the pure love of Madhavendra Puri, because that's the name of the chapter. Madhavendra Puri's Shuddha Bhakti, his pure devotion. And Prabhupada's using this as a springboard. Yes, you see Madhavendra Puri's example, his achar, Vaishnava achar, is no personal consideration. The Lord wants this, the Lord wants chandan, Bhagavan ka icha, okay. This is your desire, my desire. Oh, you're asking me to do this, oh, but I have this consideration, I have that consideration, I have this personal consideration. No personal considerations. And this is the pure devotion that's being mentioned here. So we'll continue with that tomorrow.